Let's get it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the bullpen.
You guys got it.
You two guys got it.
And all these kids do too.
Thank you. Everybody, thank you.
I didn't
mind.
Right here?
You talking to me? Oh, yeah, me.
Nice to see everybody.
How you doing, Trump?
I'm doing good.
I love you, man.
Shelly Winter, ladies and gentlemen, 95.5 FMWSB conservative talk radio host, Shelly Winter Show. Really great at his job. He interviewed Donald Trump. He also interviewed Killer Mike, a contrast there. Happens to be a good friend of mine because we do not talk politics when we see each other. Shelly, good day. Welcome to the bullpen. Welcome to Indisputable.
Thank you, Rashad. Dr. Richie, I should say, yep. My brother. Thank you, Rashad. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Let me do this. Do we have the photo of Shelly shaking Donald Trump's hand, taking the picture? Let's go to that really quickly because, sir, when I tell you, you look happier than a pig in slop. And I know this was one of those very iconic moments because I don't think I've ever seen Trump around that many black people, except for that time he brought the preachers in. So, Shelly, you interviewed Trump. You saw the crowd. I know exactly where you all were located. It is an authentically, some people say it's not an actual African-American community. It is. It's an authentically African-American community. But I do have a question at the end of you explaining what happened. I do have a policy question, but tell us what happened with Donald Trump's visit.
Well, first of all, he's been around a lot of black people. Many oftentimes I've seen him several times around black people. I saw him for Black Voices for Trump at Cobb County, right up here at the Cobb County, Cumberland. You know, that Biden place said, up here is Cobb,
Biden
Cobb
said, Parkway. Biden said they're not black. He said Biden said those people don't count.
Well, that's what Biden said. And then yeah. Y'all still voted for him. So yeah, right. But you still voted for him. But anyway,
but you voted
he's comfortable.
For Trump.
No, hold on. Let me.
You voted for Donald Trump.
I did. And you voted for Biden. So, but here's
damn
the point.
Damn right. And I vote for Biden again over Trump.
I know you will. But here's the point I'm trying to make. He's always been comfortable around black people. That's why Sharp didn't mess with him. That's why Oprah messed with him. That's why hip hop messed with him.
This is not really about his comfort, brother.
So hold on.
But talk about what happened. We only have a few minutes here, Shelly.
Going in with your joke about not being comfortable around black people. I was answering that.
No, I just said I've never seen him around that many black people.
And that's a fault. But you know, that wouldn't be true.
I haven't. No, it's true for me. I haven't seen him around that many.
Oh, that's right. You're from Decatur, so you wouldn't have. But anyway,
I'm from Glenwood Road.
Same thing. But no, seriously, that Vine City is, like you said, it's right there on MLK. People started getting excited when they saw the motorcade coming down MLK. There were people across the street, in the streets, videotaping them that you wouldn't see in the media because the media was all inside. But that was authentic. The brothers that were construction workers, those were brothers who work, you know, in construction. The brother that was standing there, you see him reach his hand out. He was the one saying, I love Trump. I love Trump. These are young brothers who were feeling, you know, excited to see him. Those young kids Michaela, you know, Michaela, I believe, that Michaela brought to the Chick-fil-A. Those young kids were excited. They weren't there because they got mixed milkshakes or chicken sandwiches. I thought that was an insult to those young people. That anybody that would say that, I think is really insulting. But those young people were curious. They were excited. That excitement was real. And that excitement was legitimate in that they were, one, meeting a former president, two, meeting a candidate for president, and three, meeting somebody that they're interested in voting on and then you want to hear more from.
Well, and here's the thing, to your point about the students, and some of them are former students in the AU Center. All of them are not.
But only one. Michaela was the only one in the construction workers. Every other young person in that that gathering were students at the AU Center.
No. So my point is all of them. I actually work with some of those students. You know, I'm a professor at the AU Center.
Right.
They're not all Trump supporters.
Michaela's the only one that say form. No, I didn't say they were. I said they were interested in seeing a former president.
All right. I just want to make sure I say that. You know how things work in media. I want to make sure I say this for the record. They're not all Trump supporters. And that has been obviously one narrative. No, I'm just saying that to make sure that.
But I was there with them. And I was there with them, and I asked them before he got there, because we were there about a good 45 minutes before he got there. I said, why are you here, and do you support Trump? And many of them said, yes, I support Trump. And some of them said, I'm here to hear what he has to say. So, I mean, so the fact of the matter is, the reaction, you want to judge, you want to judge
now,
a situation.
Now, what did he say?
Well, he told, one young lady asked him about student loans. Okay. And he said, yes, I know Joe Biden's getting rid of student loans. I think there shouldn't be a situation where you should have to take out a loan to go to college. That was his answer to a young woman.
Okay, so let me provide some context.
You don't have to provide anything or context or clarity.
I'm saying,
but you're asking me what he said to a question that was posed.
No, so what I'm doing now is providing context and clarity for my sake. Because when he says something like that, he was president for 4 years. He made no moves to do so. In addition to that, just allow me to finish, brother.
But he wouldn't. He wouldn't make a move to retire student debt.
Allow me, dear brother, to respond to your bloviation.
No, it's not bloviation. We're here talking about the kids, not about your opinion.
No, it's an opinion show. And so we do talk about my opinion.
You asked me to come on and talk about
your opinion. Let's talk about a fact. Trump didn't do a damn thing to move the needle of affordable education while he was president for 4 years.
Fair enough.
He's antithetical. He actually opposes the left-leaning legislation that seeks to either cut the student debt that's currently owed or perhaps massively regulate the cost of institutional academics.
And so yes,
he opposes the policies that they say we need you to support.
No, she asked the question, and he said you shouldn't have to take out a loan to go to college. Joe Biden's been in the Senate for 50 goddamn. Joe Biden's been in the Senate for 50 years, and now all of a sudden he wants to retire student debt. He's never done anything to retire college.
So let's stay on the Vine City. Biden, that's fine. I think it's a fair criticism of Biden. The students don't give a damn about none of that. The students care about their now. All right. So I'm a current college professor at the AU Center. The students care about their now. So we can talk
about immigration, the historic they care about crime, dynamics of Biden, they care about Biden, jobs,
et cetera. But they're talking about to Trump, they talked about what? They talked about the cost of higher education. And
One question. The other question was about jobs. The other question was about immigration.
Well, let's dissect
the cost of education first. I don't want to dissect that.
These are college students who are currently at the AU Center. Historically black colleges and universities.
Right.
They pose a question about affordability. Trump did nothing to transform that narrative.
He
made a political comment that is now being contextualized he's going to do something when he has no plan to and he didn't do it during his four years.
So you said that. So let's talk about what he did do that he did answer a question of about immigration.
So he didn't answer that question. Okay, all right, go ahead.
He did answer the question. He said you shouldn't have to do it. You shouldn't have to take out a loan to go to college, which is a fair answer to the question.
It's an unfair answer from a policy director. This individual is saying that he's going to transform policy, and he provides none at all.
And so let's talk about what he did do while he was president. When they asked him about criminal justice reform, and he explained to them about the First Step Act, which several of them were impacted by, because several of them told me in that Vine City thing, one of the reasons why they liked him was it affected their family and people that they know. So let's talk about that. Let's also talk about the fact. Hold on, let me finish.
Think about this.
Fair enough. No, Killer Mike got me gassed up. Let's keep it real.
Killer Mike, let me explain.
I came on here to talk about Vine City and Trump being at Vine City. You want to talk about policy. No, we're not talking about that.
What you mean? He's running for president. How do we not talk about policy?
He's running for re-election. Let's keep
that's
it
right.
real.
And he's running for a second term. He's running on policies. You say this on your own show.
Right. So
But you say politics is policy on your own
right.
program.
And so he's already extended a bunch of policies that.
But you told me we're not going to talk about policies.
No, I didn't say that. I said we're not going to talk about. I'm not going to go down a list of things that he answered and have back and forth. Well, because it makes no sense. Because we're talking.
He's running for president.
But he's at Vine City. Let's talk about.
You don't think Vine City residents deserve policy?
No. Let's talk about the 30 black students who at Vine
right, I'm talking about
City
the questions
cheering
that
for a guy
them,
you said
correct.
Is racist. Right. The questions he had, they didn't pose questions. They were cheering. First of all, three questions were posed. Student.
I thought they didn't pose
student loans,
any.
Jobs. I said student loans, jobs, and then immigration. So if you want to go down each of those policies, he was good on jobs.
You
we
talked
know that.
About the first
he
step
was good on immigration. We know that. Well,
no,
we
he
know
wasn't.
He was good on jobs.
Good.
We know he's on.
Oh, brother, let's do this, man. I think. Whatever, I think dude. Nuance.
He was
is
the worst
required.
President ever. There is no nuance. How are you going to talk policy and then talk nuance? Was he good or
because
not on jobs?
Policy is nuance.
Was he good or not on jobs?
No, he wasn't. And let me provide the data. Let me provide the nuance.
Provide
data
the data. Don't provide
of.
Me the data post COVID. Provide me the data for the 3 years leading up to COVID.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
I will.
Brother.
So let me provide the data to you before COVID. Pew Research shows
right.
that the average household median income of African Americans actually decreased. On a scale of $200 to $800 per year annually. This is prior to COVID.
But you always
hold
bring
on,
that
hold on, dear
up.
Brother.
So you've always been that. No, no,
brother.
You always bring that.
Allow
first
me,
of all,
can you allow
I
me
thought
to
we were
finish?
Talking about jobs.
Wait a minute, brother.
No, because you're going to say the same thing you
about
said.
Household median income, and you're interrupting
right,
because I'm about to give you actual data and science.
No.
Facts that have already occurred. Go ahead.
You're actually going to give me data that the president has nothing to do with, as you always
well, how
do.
Is,
you
how
say,
is it that the president has nothing to do with household median income, but he has something to do with jobs?
Well, because he was asked about jobs, so I was answering that question. Now you're going to take it to Congress. You had a
what?
Democrat, you had a Democrat control.
Shelly,
no, you had a Democrat.
You need to either take
you had a
something
Democratic,
or be off something, because I don't understand what you're
so
saying.
Then let's,
so he's responsible
so answer,
for jobs, but not
no,
household median income.
Well, a president is not responsible for household median income because he doesn't write the laws that create the situations. The Congress writes
sir,
the laws. Is that not a
sir,
true statement?
Sir,
presidents only sign bills.
The jobs dynamic or the jobs argument is directly associated
how
to the
that?
Household median income because you go to work to make money. Damn,
well,
brother.
What I'm trying to tell you is that if we're going to have a jobs conversation, let's have the jobs conversation. So you're saying that
correct.
Trump did not increase or lower the unemployment rate for African Americans the first
brother,
three
I can
years
answer
of
that
his
question.
Did he yes or no? Yes or no?
Sir, you don't
did
frame
go down
debates
to a
over
record?
Here, dear brother. I'm not one of your cronies on WSB.
No, I'm saying,
so let me
but
go,
did he
let me go,
go
ahead and answer right. the question. I don't want to mute you anything. I would right. like you to be respectful enough for an answer and be willing to
I thought
take
I was coming on here to talk about Vine City.
Just answer like a man, brother. It's
I
gonna
am
be
taking
okay.
the answer.
This will be over soon, Shelly.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Did he not
got a
lower
couple
the
more minutes.
Unemployment rate? Did he not
so
lower
here's
the
what,
unemployment rate? Did he not lower
the unemployment
rate?
Going to answer the question, brother. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. So Trump in his jobs department, the DO, the Department of Labor, they released numbers called a U3 rating system number. The U3 rating system number says you are employed if you have connection or contact with 1 hour of work in the 30-day cycle of survey. So the U3 rating system says, right. hey, you're employed if you have a 1 hour job right. or contract right. job. The right. U6 rating system contextualizes numbers. And in the U6 rating system, guess what happened? People had more technical connection to employment, but they had less actual income to bring home. So you can argue under the U3 rating system that yes, more black folk had employment, but under the true rating system of U6, black people made less money, had less household median income, had less disposable income, et cetera, et cetera. You
right.
know I'm
so
telling
is that,
the truth.
So, right. So is that going
Am I telling
up?
The truth, dear brother? Now
That's fine if you want to. I see it
but
as
am
income.
I telling
yes,
the truth,
yes,
dear brother?
Yes, you're telling the truth. So now let me ask
Thank
you a question.
You.
Has that gone up in the not pre-COVID, but post-COVID economy from
yes.
2021 to 2024?
Yes.
The U6 has gone up.
That's correct. The household median income has increased.
So say that again?
The household median income did increase after COVID.
It's increased.
Yes.
Of course it did increase after COVID. Of course it did after COVID because it was nothing. No, I said Biden, under Biden, not the 20 year.
Yeah, the job market. Yes, the job market 20 days ago.
Better.
Yes. Right. Fox News reported it. Come on, man.
Exactly. Of course it has.
You know, so, I know my stuff, dear brother.
Right.
Come on,
so what I'm saying it to you is that I still say, I still maintain that Trump did well on jobs. That's what he answered to college students, and that's what they feel like. So let's now go to immigration. They also asked about immigration. Let's talk about that. They also asked, that was it on the questions that they asked. Those were the three questions.
And what now was his answer? I got the wrap-up sign. What was immigration, the answer? Go ahead.
Immigration was simple. The immigration argument was simply that you're safer. I mean, job prospects are better without immigration, without illegal immigration, not without immigration, without illegal immigration. And also the black neighborhoods are safer without illegal immigration.
Okay. I think the numbers show that too. Do you have some data?
I do have the data. Okay. The data that shows if you my data would be real life experience. If you go by Ponce de Leon and go to the Home Depot at Ponce de Leon, you will see African American men being left behind about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning for Hispanic men that are there illegally for jobs.
Can
at those African American
remedy? And I mean this authentically.
No, I don't need to do the data because you
don't
know
worry
why?
About the data, brother. I know you don't believe in facts. So
it's not about facts. It's about numbers.
Right,
Jay-Z said men lie, women lie, numbers. I mean, numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. So don't tell me about.
Okay, sir, figures don't lie.
Figures can be manipulated however you want to. You know that. You're a college professor. You know statistics can be manipulated.
Allow me to provide a novel theory of economics or theory that may become practical one day.
Right.
The reason why the manipulation happens, obviously, in the undocumented immigrant realm or arena is because of the employers who are willing to take advantage of them. So you and I both know the same federal law that makes it illegal to work without proper documentation. It's illegal to hire. The subsection of the law says it's illegal to hire them as well.
Absolutely.
It's the same federal substatute. But you never see
those
CEO.
Companies.
But let me finish because I'm going to come with the conclusion. This is not how it works here. I'm going to finish my thought and then you can respond.
No problem.
Those companies are not held accountable or responsible when you see 600 undocumented workers being arrested. But there was a hiring manager. There was an HR director.
Absolutely.
There was a COO, a CEO, et cetera.
You're right.
Now, the reality of making sure that there's a pathway, a roadmap that eliminates the option of employers to pay somebody $4.50 an hour. You have to eliminate the incentive of that. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it because if you don't get rid of that, the manipulation we're talking about will remain. And then the second part is that it takes jobs. So no, not based on the data. Based on the data, undocumented workers, undocumented immigrants bring more to the economy than they ever take away. That's in every estimation of economic breakdown.
Well, of course.
But the reality of what actually takes away jobs is automation. When you go to a grocery store and there's an automatic cashier, it's a machine that takes away multiple jobs on one 24-hour shift, and those jobs never return. They never come back. So if you want to fight that.
Yeah. We are fighting that. So here's the point is when you talk about illegal immigration, it's happening in Chicago, it's happening in New York, and it's happening, Chicago and New York, not much here yet in Atlanta. But what you're also seeing is when you take away those jobs due to automation, when you take away the opportunities for people to make money because CEOs shouldn't hire them, and you're absolutely right, then what do you do with those people once you've let them into the company? You have a country. You have to take care of them. They have to eat. They have to be clothed. They have to go to school. So now the government is taking care of those people, which is why you're seeing a record number of African Americans. Please let me finish, sir.
Okay,
that's
ahead.
Why you see a record number
I'm
of African Americans in Chicago. I don't need two more minutes. That's why you're seeing a number of African Americans in Chicago and New York be kind of mad at the fact that they're seeing their local municipalities pay for people's schooling, their ESL, English as a second language. That's taking money away from students.
Gotcha.
You're seeing housing being paid for, food being paid for. So it's a natural thing, whether you add to the economy or not, you're still taking care of people over people that have lived here for a very long time.
Gotcha.
So yes,
a CEO
should go to jail. A CEO should go to jail for hiring illegal immigrants because it's federally against the law.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
And ESL programs, English as second language, those programs are return. They create return on investment. through the taxation system and employable individual and understands the language, et cetera.
But it doesn't. But it takes. But it takes away the money from this kid on the ground right then who might want to have art
or
drama
or
drama.
But hold on, Shelly. Think about
it. If you don't have that class, you don't have that class now, those monies can be spent on arts classes that have been cut out of the program.
Gotcha.
So waiting 20 years for a return on your investment for people that are not here legally is kind of hard pressed to tell the student and the parent that's in school right now.
You know, I find it quite interesting that sometimes we fall for the framing of the debate to suggest that when they tell you, you only have $1 million in the budget. Now, they're sitting on $100 billion.
They should increase they should increase the funding.
Let me finish the point, dear brother.
Here in Georgia, they have increased the funding.
Dear brother, allow me to finish the point.
That's a specious argument.
I'm talking specifically to the paradigm.
The political paradigm is such a specious argument.
Out of
we should spend more,
billion,
you're right.
Dear brother, out of $100 billion, they say you only have $1 million to work with. And when they do that, you have people arguing over pennies while they decide to steal billions. They make you think that the only way is to debate this other group rather than go to the source and get what you paid them. Through your tax,
I agree with you, dog.
Thank you, brother. On that note, we're probably going to have to end while you're not ahead.
No, I agree with you on that note.
Thank you.
But the fact is, we have what we have. So until we take it back from them, because we've been voting for the same people that have been robbing us for the last 50 years. So until we stop voting for those people on both sides of the aisle and have that real argument and take back our money.
That's fair enough.
But until we do that, here's the argument. Let's not let other people in to spend the money that we're trying to take back. That's the point.
All right. So I disagree on that last portion, but I agree with the prerequisite leading up to it. I just think it's a better solution moving forward. I wish I had more time, dear brother. Yeah. It is good to see you on this Friday, okay?
You can come on my show long term like Killer Mike.
You want me to come? Man, I was 10 WSB apart, man.
Hour and 20. Somebody will hear you, though. You know what I mean?
sir, is my radio show who's voted number one 5 years in a row?
Come on, man.
All right, brother. I just want to make sure you remember that.
You came in like seventh. I didn't come in at all. I don't think I was in that running. But I will tell you, talk about stolen election. Let's talk about that.
Hey, man, it's good to see you, brother.
My brother, love you.
Love you back, man.